The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went on the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of Decapolis. And people brought him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd and put his finger into his ear and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened and his speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished and said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever wonder what happens to the people that Jesus heals after these scenes, the deaf mute? What did he do next in his life? Well, surely he followed Jesus and stayed as close to him as he could. But I know for certain one thing he did is he went and he spread the news. Someone has healed me. I can see. I can speak. If that happened to any of us, we wouldn't go home and be silent about it. We would be out telling people. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today, is the living testimony that we can give to others. Testimony may be the most important thing that you give someone. Not money, not a little time, not their education, but your testimony about what Jesus has done for you, because that's what they need to hear, a living example. So here are a few questions, maybe just to remind you about that first encounter you had with Jesus. Listen and see what comes up in your heart. What was your life like before you met Jesus? Can you remember what you were doing before your first conversion? Do you remember when you met him, when he first touched your life? Did he open your eyes, your mouth, your ears? And since that time, how has your life changed? How has Jesus changed your life? How are you different? Finally, how are you inviting people to share in your life with Jesus? And that's the key, the final step, inviting others to come to him. The more that Jesus commanded his apostles and disciples at that time to be quiet, the more they shouted it. And just like the deaf mute man, how did the gospel spread so quickly? It wasn't just the apostles, just the 12. It was like a wildfire because so many voices were out proclaiming the good news. Whoever met him would go speak. So when we give our testimony about Jesus or invite people to meet him, we become humble instruments of healing in Jesus' hand by giving voice to the voiceless in our society. We open our ears to the word of God and the Holy Spirit loosens our tongues to speak the good news of God's love and salvation to others. We already know about it. But how much can our one little voice do, you might ask? Can I really make a difference, my one little voice? Well, the following example shows what one voice can do when it speaks of Jesus in the face of great adversity and injustice. In the 5th century, there was a little monk named Telemachus who opened the blind eyes and deaf ears of the Romans and their emperor, Honorius. The little monk Telemachus was led by an inner voice to go to Rome and to confront the injustice in the Colosseum, to stop the cruel and inhuman gladiatorial fights between slaves who were forced to kill each other for the perverse entertainment of the crowds. He followed the crowds to the Colosseum where two gladiators were fighting, and he jumped into the arena and tried to stop them, shouting, "In the name of Christ, hold back!" The gladiator stopped, but the spectators became indignant. A group of them rushed into the arena and beat and stoned Telemachus to death. When the crowd saw the brave little monk dying in a pool of blood, they left the stadium one by one. 3 days later, because of Telemachus' heroic sacrifice of his own life, the emperor decreed an end to the games on January 1st in the year 404, and they never resumed. His one act, his one life, brought an end to the gladiator fights, which had been going on for centuries, killing hundreds of slaves and Christians in brutal, forced combat. One life can change that. In today's gospel, which describes the miraculous healing of a deaf mute, we are invited to open our ears and eyes, loosen our tongues, and pray for the courage of our Christian convictions to become the voice of the voiceless. Looking more closely at the model of healing Jesus gives, it was in a culture where physical disabilities were associated with sinfulness. Why was he a deaf mute? Oh, because he had sinned or because his parents had sinned. That's the way they thought about it. They thought it was a curse, that he was stricken. So Jesus actually shows compassion when he leads him away from the crowd to heal him in private. He doesn't want any embarrassment about what's about to happen. And it's a seven-step ritual. First, he leads the man away from the crowd, and then he puts his finger into the man's ears. He spits on his own finger, touches the man's tongue with the spittle, looks up to heaven, sighs, and speaks the healing command, "Ephphatha, be opened." "Ephphatha, be opened" is the powerful word of Jesus that still has the power to heal. 6 centuries earlier, Ezekiel had prophesied, "That day your mouth shall be opened and you shall be mute no longer." People of that day also believed that the spittle of holy men had curative properties. But the early church father saw an indirect reference to baptism in the way Jesus healed the man. In baptism, the priest or deacon who baptized touches our ears and our mouths, and then follows the Ephphatha prayer, which is part of the baptism ritual. You may remember this little rite if you've been to a baptism recently. The celebrant touches the ears and the lips of the one to be baptized, saying, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the mute speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith. That we might hear the word of God and speak about Christ to others, sharing the good news with the poor, the imprisoned, the fearful, or the brokenhearted." And this simple ceremony captures not only the kernel of today's gospel, but a most profound aspect of our faith, its giftedness. Everything that we have has been gifted to us, starting in baptism, starting when Jesus healed us. Those are all gifts meant to be shared. Now, we may have a lack of confidence in speaking about Christ, in inviting people to Jesus, but it is the Holy Spirit who does the heavy lifting. We invite, but the Holy Spirit moves hearts. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies those who are called. If we always wait until we're perfectly ready, we'll never begin. Our confidence is not in ourselves or in the person sharing the good news, but it is placed in the good news himself. Jesus is that good news. So do not be afraid, for the Spirit will complete the work with power and love, and they will not be able to resist your invitation. Finally, our challenge today is, like the brave little monk Telemachus, to know when to say, "In the name of Christ, hold back," when we see injustice. And also to know when to say, to bring others to Jesus through our personal testimony of the good things he has done for us, so that they too may open their mouth to proclaim the most holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior.